scriptures. And the title of my commentary is Why Put Faith in Christ. Let me pray. Dear Father, may you speak to our minds and our hearts. May this message help us to walk by faith. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the message I bring you today is really a continuation of what I talked to you about a few weeks back. If you recall, I preached a sermon which was titled The Equality of Faith. In that sermon, I made three important claims. I began to build on the fact that we are what we think. According to Proverbs 3:7, as we think in our hearts only, very, very important principle. We are what we think. Next, I identified the main attribute that characterizes Christian thinking, and it's faith. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. And not only is only by faith that we can please God. Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. So these texts lead me to the conclusion that we need to make every effort to live by faith. We are beginning to keep in our mind's eye Christ. And our faith is that we can live together in every situation. Paul really practices that in Romans chapter 12:2 when he writes, that we are to look unto Jesus in all things to fulfill our faith. Let me just illustrate. We do not consider them unfamiliar with by taking a GPS. I might not keep my GPS on a chair, but I put my GPS in front of me. And with one ear, I drive it around, and with the other ear, I'm looking to see where I am. Because then I don't know what lane to go into, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm constantly looking and watching the GPS and its instructions. And I put it off the whole trip. And we do this in the Christian journey too. We cannot keep Christ at a distance or to the side. He must be where we can see him. He must be at the front and he must be in the center and on the dashboard. And he must be there from the beginning to the end. Because being a Christian is about knowing him and following him. And in my sermon today, I want to continue exploring the psychology of faith in Christ. I want you to answer one question. What motivates Christians to keep their eyes focused on Christ? In other words, why have faith in Christ? And I'd like to let you in on the answer to this question at the beginning of my sermon. And then we can go and we're going to unpack what it means. And Christians live by faith in Christ because they discovered two different life-changing truths. First, they discovered the problem of sin in their life. Second, they discovered that Christ loves them and is the solution to their sin problem. And when they have personally discovered these two truths, then they are not able to live with faith in Christ. Now let's explore these discoveries together. First, Christians need to discover that they have a major personal problem. They are lost, and they are heading in the wrong direction. Paul describes the situation pointedly in Romans chapter 8:8. He says it this way: those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's not just that they don't please God. The problem is that they cannot please God in themselves. Their problem is with sin. Sin causes them to live contrary to God's will, and they have no control or power over sin. Sin controls them. They are slaves. And the power to live altering insights allows them to put their faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul describes his own feeling of his blindness to sin in Romans 7. Let's focus in on verses 23 to 24. The Apostle Paul writes, he says that sin is sin, so the law is sin, so different when he has come to his end, and he is sin, another law in my members, worrying against the law of my mind, and turning me into continually to the law of sin in my members. Only wretched man that I am, who will deliver me
So we need to wait. And then we can jump out of the field
But the morning awakened the man and made footprints where men and women had been chained to a tree and walked and lived until their blood pulp. We won't try that again. And then I can hope that we can back in the Lord. Hope that you'll be an idiot. And then I can feel my sin enough to be an idiot. And maybe I can bring my sin under control. We know that we can have to be alive that we've been an idiot, a reason, or a ticket, thinking that this is difficult or can overcome sin. And what can we make them in this? They say, that sin continues to rule it despite all these self-disciplining efforts. Sin continues with hope. And here, but if you know more than anyone to live with, the sin not only rules me, but rules everyone else around me. So what can we do with that? I imagine that the sin is going to form the plan of the world. That will certainly work, I think. I want to take a look at the days, and here are the days. The list is longer and longer and more detailed and more lengthy than the previous year. He doesn't read this and say, I'm certainly doing it. He doesn't say, I'm certainly doing it well. Why is it so sad that you need to read it? And then he doesn't say, I'm going to affect. And so everything will work out. The whole thing will work out like a machine. You can see these things that you've been looking for and do it. But then the plan doesn't work. So you take a look at it and you think that maybe it takes back to some screws and bolts. And you think the plan is never going to work. And then you can see something that's wrong with the plan. So you can get a new plan. And then you can do one last trick. I think that will work. But if not, then I don't know what I'm going to do. What if I decide I'm going to manipulate the tape, my predicament, the slavery being busy enough to do all sorts of things? I think I'm going to lose myself in life, and that will make the problem disappear. And I think I'm going to also have a pleasurable, meaningful experience and attractive and work. But this doesn't work either. So far, I'm going to really go and lose me, feeling empty. I'm falling to the spirit, nothing works, and right next to it, none of the supposed plans to continue with anywhere. I'm still a natural-born slave. But the good news is the only one who's reached despair that I'm feeling the way out of our predicament. But there is one thing to be very clear. We need to make another important discovery in order to be free. We need to make another crucial discovery. We need to discover the truth that God has already created the solution to the problem of our bondage to sin, and that is Jesus Christ. If we just have to do it, along with my commitment that I've been in this life, it will motivate me to live by faith in Jesus Christ. The second decision I need to make is that Christ is my deliverer. If I can avoid the chance of faith in God to help us overcome our sin, if I can't treat faith, for example, the Bible says that Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. In Him there is no sin. So Jesus alone can help us. He came to be accepted by God to face Himself as a free seaman and left His master, carrying full identification papers. He traveled by train to New York. He left home and left His master, but he was still a legal slave. And he remained a fugitive slave until, from freedom to end, purchased him out of slavery in 1846. So David was not free until he was delivered from slavery. So he said this, we must be delivered, and Jesus alone can do it. Now, why is Jesus discovery for himself? And we can read about it in Romans 15:25. In other words, I thank God for Christ our Lord. He discovered Christ as the way out of slavery. And he didn't understand the freedom that he experienced in Christ. I can notice how the description he gives is both a personal description as well as a theological description of his newfound freedom. This is personal. It is not a story for him. In Romans 8:1-4, he says this. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not Truths. First, they discovered their plan of sin Christ, and they can't live with Him. That should be the evidence they didn't have the proper motivation for keeping their eyes on Jesus. When that is true, they can't understand the importance of looking to Christ, but all of this being that God had put their faith in Jesus. So we can't afford to lose sight of our need. We can't afford to lose sight of the great deliverance ready for us. We need both of these realizations to keep us in a straight and narrow path. If we lose sight of our need, we grow powerless. But if we lose sight of our great deliverance, we become weary, despondent, and lose hope in ever finding freedom. In fact, Paul put these two truths together when talking about the Christian life. For example, Romans 8, verse 10, he writes the words, he says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." If you have bodies that are dead because of sin, because we have no spiritual resources to get sin out of hell.
Telling you a story that I think illustrates the freedom in Christ.
church avoided a particularly painful place in learning that only seeking the living one. And by hearing a group of the Ephesians led by the nature beyond the book, and he made the primary responsibility in the life of an 18-year-old son. Shooting the young man at point blank range, setting a woman on fire, and then pulling him around the fire until the body could be reduced to no more than ashes. 8 years later, the end of the female officers had again intersected with the woman's life. They failed to take her husband into captivity, and then told him later, the end of the book had been to go once again, and right before they were dead, in the dead night, and brought that woman to an isolated stone grandmother where a woman lay tied to a pile of wood. And as she went, he and the officer dealt the man with gasoline and then ignited fire. The last words of his flame chart in the midst of the blazing fire were forgiven. Now, literally, it's the plan that came for Jesus to be served. This is the way that they can find the life. And the community turned to the woman for a final statement regarding her desire for an appropriate punishment. "I want three things," she said. "I want Mr. Vanderbilt to take me to the place where I buried my husband's body. I would like to get out of death and get him a decent burial. Second, Mr. Vanderbilt took all of my family away from me, and I still have a little more to give. They would like for him to put him to the bed and spend a day with me so I can be a mother to him. Third, they would like Mr. Vanderbilt to know that he is forgiven by God and that I forgive him too. And they would like for him to put him to lead me by the hand to where Mr. Vanderbilt is so I can embrace him and he can know my forgiveness is real." The elderly woman now ran across the silent courtroom. Vanderbilt reportedly fainted, overcome by emotion. The woman's silence was broken when somebody began singing "Amazing Grace." The next time picked up the word of the woman, so that finally the entire audience in the courtroom was joined in song. What a remarkable story of freedom from a life of bitterness and hatred. The elderly woman lived in the freedom that only Christ can give, and she extended that deliverance to a former enemy. She could now live a life-changing life with a strong faith in Jesus and his power of deliverance. So my brothers and sisters, we realize at the end of our history, Jesus is coming soon. But before he comes back, he will prepare a people to meet him when he returns in the clouds of heaven. And these people will exhibit the lovely character Jesus. Christ will reproduce his own character in them. They will keep all the names of God, and they will have the testimony of Jesus. But the best question is, what is it about them? It says that they are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. It says that in the man who has had no deceit, they will not fall before the throne of God. It says that these are the redeemed from among them, and the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And they see a light in the midst of a dark and broken world. Now you and I, we want to be part of that group. In order to be part of that group, we must have the faith of Jesus. We must have a genuine, steadfast faith in him. And in order to have that, we must understand that we are slaves, but that through Christ we can gain freedom. Let us walk in the faith of Jesus, that we might be counted worthy. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to be together with you for eternity. And we know that this is not something that we can accomplish through our own effort. But you have promised that if we will put our faith in you, you will lead us. You will give us freedom. And today we want to continue on that journey. We put our will, we put our life into your hand, and we ask that you would keep our souls for your glory. May we be part of those who are ready when you come back. In Jesus' name, amen.